Chapter 14. The South Pole. I immediately ran to the platform. Yes, the sea was open. I saw a great number of birds in the air and various types of fish under those waters. The thermometer showed 3 degrees centigrade. We decided to step onto the icy land. I allowed the captain the first steps on this new region.
Sir,
said the captain,
the reason I chose to step onto this land is because no other man has ever stepped here,
he explained. He then walked onto the icy ground, which was made up of mainly reddish, sandy stone, which had come from the explosions of volcanoes millions of years ago. The next day, the 20th of March, Conseil and I explored the region, discovering a great many seals living on the South Pole, as well as a number of other mysterious animals. Chapter 15. Accident or Incident. On the 22nd of March, at 6 in the morning, we began to prepare for our departure. We soon began sinking to escape the thick ice. That night, however, I was awoken by a great shock when a nearby iceberg turned over, throwing the Nautilus deeper into the ocean before it rose again, only to crash into the iceberg again. During these violent crashes, I was thrown into the middle of my room, trying to find something in the room to hold on to. I immediately went into the sitting room, where Conseil and Ned looked around at the paintings and collections that had been thrown all over the room during the violent movements of the Nautilus. "What is the matter?" I asked.
"I came to ask you, sir,"
replied Conseil.
"Oh, no,"
exclaimed the Canadian.
"I know what is happening. The Nautilus has been hit. And I do not believe it can escape from this."
"But," I asked, "has it come to the surface of the sea?"
"We do not know,"
said Conseil. I soon discovered that the Nautilus was still at a depth of 180 fathoms below the surface.
"What does that mean?" I exclaimed.
"We must ask Captain Nemo,"
said Conseil.
"But where shall we find him?"
said Ned Land. "Follow me," I said to my companions. I then took them to the center staircase to wait, as I thought the captain must be in the pilot's room directing the submarine. I then decided we should wait there for the captain to return. We waited there for 20 minutes. He finally walked down the staircase, but did not see us. His face, usually so calm, looked quite anxious now. Finally, he turned towards me. "An incident, Captain?"
"No, sir. An accident this time."
"Serious?"
"Perhaps. The Nautilus is trapped. Not by our own mistakes, but by nature. We may challenge human laws, but we cannot resist nature's laws."
I did not understand Captain Nemo's reason for making this speech. "What is the cause of this accident, sir?" I asked.
"A mountain of ice has turned over,"
he replied.
"The water at the bottom of the mountain became warmer than the top. As the Nautilus's electricity warmed the water at the bottom, forcing the center point in the iceberg to rise, therefore allowing it to turn over. As the ice turned, it hit the Nautilus, then throwing it onto another island of ice, where it is lying on its side. The Nautilus is unable to move."
The captain then decided to empty the storage rooms of water, allowing the submarine to rise. This was done, and 10 minutes later, we were rising to the surface. Soon enough, we realized that we were trapped on both sides by sheets of ice nearly 20 feet thick, and our passageway going either up or down was blocked, as well, from thick ice. We must go back again, through the southern opening, as that wall of ice is the thinnest, I told my companions, hoping to appear more confident than I felt. I then went from the sitting room to the library and sat down on the sofa, attempting to read to calm myself. After I began reading a book nearby, Conseil came in to join me.
"Is what you are reading very interesting, sir?"
he asked. "Very interesting," I replied.
"It should be. It is your own book."
"My book?" I looked at the cover and saw the words, "Great Submarine Depths." I was so nervous about our situation that I had not realized
my own writing.
"Stay here, my friends," said I. "Let us stay here together until we are out of this situation." Many hours passed, but we were still more than 900 feet below the surface. The Nautilus was attempting to return to the south, hoping to break through the ice in that direction. The captain came to speak to us after some time.
"Our path is blocked southward as well. The iceberg has moved, and now all openings are closed."
Chapter 16. Want of air. Therefore, around the Nautilus in every direction was a wall of thick ice. We were prisoners of the iceberg. I watched the captain, who still remained calm.
"Gentlemen,"
he said quietly,
"there are two ways of dying in this situation. The first is to be crushed, and the second is to die without air. Our air supplies will only last for the next 2 days. Therefore, we have 48 hours to attempt an escape from this ice."
The captain then explained that his men would begin attacking the iceberg with axes on the thinnest side. Ned Land then offered his help, and he was soon dressed in a diving suit and helmet, ready to enter the icy waters. Captain Nemo entered the water as well, to create an opening for the submarine. I went to the sitting room to watch them work, anxious as each moment passed. Before beginning, they used an instrument to discover which of the walls was the thinnest. They discovered that the side walls were nearly 45 feet thick, while the ceiling was the iceberg itself. The bottom wall, however, was just 30 feet thick, and so decided to dig through this wall. They began immediately and worked for the next 2 hours before returning. The next crew went out to work. Conseil and I joined them. When I returned to the Nautilus, I realized there was quite a difference in air between the inside of the submarine and the air I received from the tank I carried as I worked removing the wall of ice. I then discovered that the poisonous gas was filling the air of the Nautilus as we breathed out. We had not had new air in 48 hours. After working for 12 hours, we had only removed 3 feet of the wall. To finish this work, we would need 5 nights and 4 days to complete the digging, but we only had enough air for 2 days, and perhaps we would still be buried under another iceberg after being freed from this one. Our situation was terrible, but each man was determined to do his duty until his death. During the night, another block of ice was removed, taking away another 3-foot-thick square. The next morning, however, I noticed that the edges were again freezing, making the hole much smaller. Captain Nemo had noticed this problem as well, but there was no way to stop the freezing. During the day, I worked a great deal, as I was greatly relieved to be allowed to leave the terrible air of the Nautilus. While working, I was able to breathe the pure air, therefore improving my health until I would again be forced to return to the Nautilus. The next day, March 26th, I continued my work. The side walls and the lower surface were looking thicker.
Professor Aronnax, we must attempt something else, or we shall all soon die,
the captain said to me that day. Yes, but what can we do? I asked. After a few moments of silence, he exclaimed,
boiling water. Yes. If we use the water boilers inside to raise the temperature on the wall, we will be able to remove the ice faster.
Let us try it, I told him. We then used the machines that were used to make drinking water from seawater to warm the wall of ice outside the Nautilus. Late that night, the water was raised to 1 degree centigrade, therefore allowing the sheet of ice to melt somewhat. The next day, March 27th, we removed 18 feet of ice, only 12 feet left. The remaining work should take nearly 48 hours, though we only had a bit of air left. I could not breathe or move, as the air had become quite poisonous. My brave Conseil, though, showed great courage during this time. We continued to work and breathed in the pure air as we did. The next day we worked with great energy, leaving 6 feet left to remove. But the air inside the submarine was nearly empty. I felt great pain in my head and chest. My companions felt the same. On that day, our sixth after being imprisoned by the ice, the captain decided he would attempt to crash through the remaining ice to escape to the surface. We waited and listened for the Nautilus to move. Suddenly, the submarine moved towards the last bit of ice, which cracked, and the Nautilus sank. Then, after a few moments, we were sailing towards the surface quickly, going full speed. Meanwhile, I was in the sitting room, hardly able to breathe. I soon was breathing pure air. I then looked over to see Ned and Conseil, my two brave friends, allowing me the last of the air from the tanks. I looked at the clock. It was 11 in the morning. It was the 28th of March. Where was Captain Nemo? Were he and his companions dead? Then, I felt the Nautilus burst through another sheet of ice. The door to the platform was ripped open, and we were breathing fresh air.